Chapter 33. While walking with Lydia through the garden, Vinicius described briefly, in words from the depth of his heart, that which a short time before he had confessed to the apostles, that is, the alarm of his soul, the changes which had taken place in him, and, finally, that immense yearning which had veiled life from him, beginning with the hour when he left Miriam's dwelling. He confessed to Lydia that he had tried to forget her, but was not able. He thought whole days and nights of her. That little cross of boxwood twigs which as he had left reminded him of her, that cross, which he had placed in the lararium, and revered involuntarily as something divine. And he yearned more and more every moment, for love was stronger than he, and had seized his soul altogether, even when he was at the house of Aulus. The parki weave the thread of life for others, but love, yearning, and melancholy had woven it for him. His acts had been evil, but they had their origin in love. He had loved her when she was in the house of Aulus, when she was on the Palatine, when he saw her in the Strianum listening to Peter's words, when he went with Croton to carry her away, when she watched at his bedside, and when she deserted him. Then came Shiloh, who discovered her dwelling, and advised him to seize her a second time. But he chose to punish Shiloh, and go to the apostles, to ask for truth and for her. And blessed be that moment in which such a thought came to his head, for now he is at her side, and she will not flee from him, as the last time she fled from the house of Miriam. I did not flee from thee, said Lydia. Then why didst thou go? She raised her iris-colored eyes to him, and, bending her blushing face, said, Who knowest? Vinicius was silent for a moment from excess of happiness, and began again to speak, as his eyes were opened gradually to this, that she was different utterly from Roman women, and resembled Pomponia alone. Besides, he could not explain this to her clearly, for he could not define his feeling, that beauty of a new kind altogether was coming to the world in her, such beauty as had not been in it thus far, beauty which is not merely a statue, but a spirit. He told her something, over, which filled her with delight, that he loved her, just because as he had fled from him, and that she would be sacred to him at his hearth. Then, seizing her hand, he could not continue. He merely gazed on her with rapture, as on his life's happiness which he had won, and repeated her name, as if to assure himself that he had found her, and was near her. Oh, Lydia, Lydia! At last he inquired what had taken place in her mind, and she confessed that as he had loved him, while in the house of Aulus, and that if he had taken her back to them from the Palatine she would have told them of her love, and tried to soften their anger against him. I swear to thee, said Vinicius, that it had not even risen in my mind to take thee from Aulus. Petronius will tell thee sometime that I told him then how I loved and wished to marry thee. Let her anoint my door with wolf fat, and let her sit at my hearth, apostrophe said I to him. But he ridiculed me, and gave Caesar the idea of demanding thee as a hostage and giving thee to me. How often in my sorrow have I cursed him, but perhaps fate ordained thus, for otherwise I should not have known the Christians, and should not have understood thee. Believe me, Marcus, replied Lydia, it was Christ who led thee to himself by design. Vinicius raised his head with a certain astonishment. True, answered he, with animation. Everything fixed itself so marvelously that in seeking thee, I met the Christians. In the Strianum I listened to the apostle with wonder, for I had never heard such words. And there thou didst pray for me? I did, answered Lydia. They passed near the summer house covered with thick ivy, and approached the place where Ursus, after stifling Croton, threw himself upon Vinicius. Here, said the young man, I should have perished but for thee. Do not mention that, answered Lydia, and do not speak of it to Ursus. Could I be revenged on him for defending thee? Had he been a slave, I should have given him freedom straightway. Had he been a slave, Aulus would have freed him long ago. Dost thou remember, asked Vinicius, that I wished to take thee back to Aulus, but the answer was, that Caesar might hear of it, and take revenge on Aulus and Pomponia? Think of this. Thou mayst see them now as often as thou wishest. How, Marcus? I say now, apostrophe, and I think that thou wilt be able to see them without danger when thou art mine. For should Caesar hear of this, and ask what I did with the hostage whom he gave me, I should say I married her, and she visits the house of Aulus with my consent. ... He will not remain long in Antium, for he wishes to go to Achaia, and even should he remain, I shall not need to see him daily. When Paul of Tarsus teaches me your faith, I will receive baptism at once. I will come here, gain the friendship of Aulus and Pomponia, who will return to the city by that time, and there will be no further hindrance. I will seat thee at my hearth. Oh, Carissima, Caricerna! And he stretched forth his lined, as if taking heaven as witness of his love. And Lydia, raising her clear eyes to him, said, "And then I shall say, wherever thou art, Caius, there am I, Caia." ... No, Lydia, cried Vinicius, I swear to thee, that never has woman been so honored in the house of her husband as thou shalt be in mine. For a time they walked on in silence, without being able to take in with their breasts their happiness, in love with each other, like two deities, and as beautiful as if spring had given them to the world with the flowers. They halted at last under the cypress growing near the entrance of the house. Lydia leaned against his breast, and Vinicius began to entreat again with a trembling voice, "Ursus, to go to the house of Aulus for thy furniture and playthings of childhood." But she, blushing like a rose, or like the dawn, answered, "Custom commands otherwise. I know that. The PRONUBA one usually brings them behind the bride, but do this for me. I will take them to my villa in Antium, and they will remind me of thee." Here he placed his hands together and repeated, like a child who is begging for something, "Tea will be some days before Pomponia returns, so do this, Diva, do this, Carissima." "But Pomponia will do as she likes," answered Lydia, blushing still more deeply at mention of the Pranuba. And again they were silent, for love had begun to stop the breath in their breasts. Lydia stood with shoulders leaning against the cypress, her face whitening in the shadow, like a flower, her eyes drooping, her bosom heaving with more and more life. Vinicius changed in the face, and grew pale. In the silence of the afternoon they only heard the beating of their hearts, and in their mutual ecstasy that cypress, the myrtle bushes, and the ivy of the summer house became for them a paradise of love. But Miriam appeared in the door, and invited them to the afternoon meal. They sat down then with the apostles, who gazed at them with pleasure, as on the young generation which after their death would preserve and I sow still further the seed of the new faith. Peter broke and blessed bread. There was calm on all faces, and a certain immense happiness seemed to overflow the whole house. "See," said Paul at last, turning to Vinicius, "are we enemies of life and happiness?" "I know how that is," answered Vinicius, "for never have I been so happy as among you." One, the matron who accompanies the bride, and explains to her the duties of a wife. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.